We're at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, which is talking about the law, and I will tell you that the law is very, very much all over the place in the New Testament, the contrast of the house of Dunn, the world of Dunn. It is extremely in contrast, extremely, I can't emphasize it enough. So it is, I can't express it enough. The law is the big contrast to the world of Dunn. And I have spent several days in a row here. Really, I already knew that from other sharings that he's been doing on this. But, oh man, it's really, really important that we see that difference and that and see the contrast of it. Okay, so again, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, and I put with the law, with corruptible things, as silver and gold, or from your vain conversation, which is, that's King James for your vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You may notice that. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So this is addressing, this isn't just Paul here. This is addressing by Peter this theme again, which we call the world of Dunn, which we know to be the fact that we've been placed in Christ before the world began. We know, at least when I say we know, we've heard, we've gone over a lot of scriptures, and this is just another set dealing with reality. I'm going to say it like this: reality, eternal reality, versus manifestation. And I would assume that it would be difficult for some to really be able to comprehend how Christ and Him crucified would simply be what we call a manifestation of something way greater. No. Right? I mean, and there are many hoops to jump through. And that's one that it says it right here, and we'll get into it more. But this is one that Peter's bringing up. And he's about to embark on a journey outside what we're familiar with. And he's going to present it in the way that he's seen it, which is the way that Paul saw it, which is the way that, you know, that is the prophets saw it. And you actually, in a certain way, you could say that you actually see it more in the prophets. And it was predicted by Jesus that it would come from the prophets. And then the New Testament, even here in 1 Peter, he goes back to the prophets again. In this whole area, I just didn't grab the whole chapter here and take off with it. So with his beginning, so where is the beginning? With Peter's beginning, with the way that he sees this, then he sees before he sees the beginning, which is the world of done. He sees that the law has failed, and Paul did too. Boy, I'm talking about exciting times to get into this when you start getting into Romans 9 and Romans 10 and Romans 11 and really begin to see this, how well it is laid out. And yet, this old boy has read it ever since I've been a Christian. Didn't see what I'm seeing now, and it's undeniable. I mean, it's like slapping me in the face and saying, that's what it's saying, you know? And then I have to look at it and go, it is what it's saying. The law was corruptible. It was no, I will quote this quite often. And it's quoted in several different places in the New Testament and in the Old Testament that by the law, no man is justified. And it's said in a little bit different way, but the point being that if you were able to keep the law perfectly, anybody, somebody, please, you would say, no. But okay, somebody, stand up and do that. Well, you'd say, well, Jesus did that too. He did it to put it away. He didn't fulfill it because he thought it was the best thing for us. And so he says, you were not redeemed. And nobody, even if you kept every jot and tittle, would be justified. So you could even say, well, a whole bunch of people, maybe all of us, maybe Christians could keep the law every jot and tittle. You still wouldn't be justified because that's not how God planned from before the foundation of the world to justify us. You cannot be justified by the law. And yet Israel kept thinking they could. And, if you've broken the law in one place, you've broken the whole law. Try doing that one. You say, well, I'm really good at these, I'm really good at these 9 commandments. Well, tough, But even if you could do all 10, you're not justified by the law. You are justified by faith in what Jesus did, not just Jesus of Nazareth, but what, if you will, in keeping with these scriptures, the Lamb did before the foundation of the world. Because, read it, okay? So, there is, let me look at my notes here. Okay, so he says, but was manifest in these last times for you. So, now listen to this thing that it's saying was manifest. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. who verily was foreordained. He was a lamb, you know, foreordained before the foundation of the world. And now he's being manifested to us. What did they say? No one could see that before he came. We live in a world of manifestation. That's why Thomas said, well, you got to show me. You know what I mean? Show me the stuff. But God lives in a world of reality. He does. And what you say, what reality? And some might say, heaven. No. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What reality did he live in then? Before there was heaven. See, everybody wants to go to heaven. You don't want to go to heaven. Oh, man. Heaven and earth going to pass away. You sure you want to hang around there forever? You know, just be aware of these things. One reason why this can be so difficult is because so much religion, because we've been taught certain things and never really looked at the scripture, so that somebody read them this way and rightly so got a certain bunch of that right, but made that everything when it was just a manifestation, and therefore cannot see beyond the veil. So they live in religion. So, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Notice the word as of. I put something in here when I was jotting these things down. Let me just go down a few of these. He wasn't just a man. Jesus wasn't just a man. And we go, yeah, I know, he was God. He wasn't just a man, but a manifestation. He wasn't just a man, but a manifestation of something. And it's the same person, but it's not the same reality. The Jesus of Nazareth was not the same reality as the Son of God with the Father before everything was created or anything was created, and the relationship that they had. And Jesus even really brings that to bear when he's praying in John 17, his last prayer, his prayer request. This is Jesus having some prayer requests. Will we, help fulfill those for him? And he is that they might know me in the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. Oh, there's that little line again. I didn't put all this stuff in here. In places that you have read it over and over, you didn't see it either. I know I didn't. Jesus, the Holy Son of God in manifestation, is praying that we would see outside of the manifestation the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. How are you going to see that? How are you going to? Well, you're going to have to see beyond the pale, they say. You're going to have to see beyond the veil. You're going to have to change gears. You're going to have to be open to things that God is saying and doing and in relationship to these scriptures when he talks about, but was manifest in these last times for you. What was manifest? Again, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to go past this. Foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest for you. Foreordained before the foundation of the world, this one right here, as of a lamb, not a lamb. And Jesus, God didn't go, huh, You know, when I was doing creation, there was this little thing running around in the pasture. It was so cute and everything and lovable. And I think I'm going to, when I send Jesus down there, my son down there, I'm going to call him the Lamb of God. You think that's what happened? That's ridiculous. No. There's one real lamb, and everything else is just a manifestation of what that's supposed to be. So it's these little lambs are a manifestation that's supposed to speak to us, but they couldn't except for the law. And, you know, and I know God gave the law and all of this, so it's, you know, don't get sucked in. God gave the law. You just look up. Here's what you do. You look up in the scriptures reasons that God gave the law. You know, so that we'd all be found as sinners. Do you know that? Anybody know that? Huh? If you knew it, raise your hand. Okay, good. And there's more. There's more. But it's all it is a wake-up call, but it's a good one. You know, if you have been a Christian and you've been, you know, laboring to do such good for Jesus, and, you know, you want to be a righteous man. I want to be a righteous man for God. Well, okay. He'll see to it that you find out that you're not. And that you need Jesus. Yeah. Does that make you mad that you have to you need Jesus? Just give up all those holy robes and get naked before God, if you will. You know? Just stand there without all of your, you know, things that you think that's going to be what pleases God. And yes, he's the one who instituted sacrifice and offerings. But David saw right through it. He said, thou desirest not sacrifice. What did he say he desires? A broken spirit, broken contrite heart, a body, what else? Truth in the inward parts. Yeah, truth in the inward parts. Well, if you see, just examine that for a little bit. Come on. It's like, okay, we're really trying to get truth in our head. We're studying and we're going to go, oh, I'm going to get to the Lord and I know he's going to be so happy with me when I can say all these deep things and everything. And he's going, I don't want truth in you. I want, it's true. Jesus is the truth. Why would I want truth in you unless it's him? But he would say, the truth that I want it in the inward parts. And that's why when you kill them, you open them up and you start pulling out all these things and hold them, waving them before God. Anybody familiar with this? But we go, oh, I just want to sacrifice things too. You know, I'm going to give up my record collection, which I did way back in the 60s. It would be worth a fortune today. And I didn't have to. Or he, you know, I mean, it's like he's up there going, I'm handling my record collection. He goes, I don't have a record player. I'm sure it's good. Just keep it, you know. But we're so, you know, and I'm not, I am not in any way in my heart. I don't know, maybe my tone, but I'm not trying to condemn. I just know that I'm being shook. I mean, all through my being. Because when I read the word now, I'm seeing more of what's eternal. Like the Lamb of God is so common. I mean, you probably, there's probably, you know, a certain percentage of all churches that have somewhere a picture of a lamb somewhere. But it says he was as of a lamb. He wasn't a lamb in that sense. He was the Son. He was God. He was. And in that spirit, his spirit of giving, not just giving. You know, we can, you know, we can give. We can give money and offerings, and we can, you know, and we can feel good about it if we, you know, give a certain amount or whatever. I remember, and Michael remember this, but when we first started doing, and I think we mentioned this recently, but when we first started our food and clothing giveaway, Mike Gentry was there. And I said, okay, just bring clothes, bring shoes, bring things. We're going to just give them away. And I said, don't bring all the junk. Don't give all the junk that you don't want. I don't like these shoes anymore, so I'll give them away. You know, don't give junk to God. You know, it's like he's a glorified dumpster for us with the, you know, oh, I used to really love this, but I don't love it anymore. So I give it, you know, and we will feel good about that. But you remember me saying that, Mike? And I went, no, sir, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna give our best. We're not giving it to the people. We're giving it to Jesus, and he'll bring the right people in. Didn't we have a wonderful time this past week? Do you know what it signified to me? All that we've been talking about the new, is starting to manifest. See? And I said it from the beginning. I said it can't just, we can't start with the outward. God always starts with the inward. He's always wanting to, you know, get that straightened out, and then he can take care of the outward. Right? And so I knew there would be a time when we'd start seeing these flowers pop up, if you will, this beauty. And to me, that was beautiful. I loved it. And I loved how we were all out there. And oh, it was just amazing. And there's going to be more of that, and there's going to be more of other stuff. God's got it in his heart, and he's going to, and it's also a proof that he's getting through to us too. You know what I mean? Because it had to be a manifestation of something real. Kelly would, you know, we would be in Ireland, and every, you drive down the road, and anytime there was a hill with a little baby, you know, lamb there, she had to have a picture of it. And after a while, I just, because, you know, first of all, if, you know, we're stopping too much. I'm getting, you know, there's a lot of sheep in Ireland. And I said, do you want the closest picture you're going to get is of a lamb is if maybe there's one that is laid out there and is bleeding and dying. Get a picture of the blood all over it instead of this cute little, you know. Ooh. Jesus. No, that's not Jesus. Okay. It has to be. These things have to come from somewhere besides our imagination. And that's why I have the joy, especially with all the things that's been going on lately. I mean, you don't know everything because you're part of a part, you know. So, but I get to see a lot more and hear a lot more. And I'd be walking through, and some of the ladies be looking up there on the stage, and they're not They're not going, well, you know what I think. Nobody's saying, you know what I think. It's like, I sense the Lord. Even recently, Jennifer walked over here and this board wasn't here. And she looked up at the stage and I think I was standing beside her, maybe my wife or one other person. And she said, well, we're going to have to change all this. And I knew what you meant, because it's more than, well, it's springtime now. We've got to get rid of the fireplace. It's more than that. Amen? It is the body moving by the life of Christ. But we're talking about the eternal being, the eternal Christ. You know? Jesus is not walking the earth anymore. He sat down. Don't you believe he's seated there? Yeah, but his twin brother's down here because I saw him in a church service. Something, well, you know, they would never say that, but that's like, you know, let's void out he really sat down and he's now ministering to those who are hopeless and helpless and needy and all this kind of stuff, if you will, at the throne of grace. However you want to picture that, he's not walking here. He's living here. And he's wanting to make that throne our heart. And he's there because he's eternal. So, all right. So, so he wasn't just a man. He was a manifestation of something greater, something eternal. Not, he wasn't just a created lamb, or like a, he wasn't like a created lamb. A created lamb is so far from who this one that it talks about here is before the foundation of the world. So what does that mean? What does it mean? It means that, and I've said this and I will be saying it, it means we have to change gears. It means we have to start reading, number one, reading a little closer, paying attention to certain things. And then we have to admit and just say, Lord, I don't know you. And you can say that a lot, but it's not bringing him glory for you to say, I don't know you. Right. I mean, it'd be better if you said, I want to know you. You know, because he's pretty familiar with the fact that you don't know him. You know, not like this. You know, we know him. We know him as Savior. We know him as healer. We know him as all these things, because that was a manifestation. All right, so he was a manifestation of something greater, something eternal, not a created lamb, an eternal lamb. And it says, not with the blood of just lambs and goats, but with the precious blood of the eternal one who manifested himself down here. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to try my best to just come up with something. Okay. So this is not Jesus of Nazareth. This is not the Son of Man. This is the eternal Son that was and is to come. Was means before time. Is means he's right here now, and he's also is to come. Okay, so there's that, but then there is this manifestation that we see of him, And we see what when we do, we see, like I said, Jesus of Nazareth. I like adding that to help us really grasp that. Jesus of Nazareth, as if Jesus of Nazareth is the answer to all the problems of the world, all of the hatred, all of the wars, all of the... No. I mean, I remember sharing once and saying, you know, well, Jesus came, okay. We say, Jesus is the answer, and everything's going to be better, you know. But when Jesus came, he didn't stop any wars. In fact, there was probably wars because of him. He didn't feed all of humanity. He didn't do all the things that we kind of think that he did when he didn't. And, you know, someone here is probably thinking, Randy, you're going to get in trouble with him if you keep talking like this. You know, he didn't. All of these things. He healed some people when he walked. He fed some people. You go, well, it was 5,000 and another 4,000. And then he probably held a baby and, you know, held a bottle or something for him. I don't know. But none of that is the Jesus that we picture, because we've made him what he is up here. But we still haven't done that either. But I'm just saying, we've made the Son of Man as if he's the Son of God. Well, the life is true. But Jesus of Nazareth can only work in manifestation while he's in the earth. I mean, I probably should qualify that, but I don't know how to qualify it. I can only say that in the earth, we have to deal with the material. Right? He doesn't have to deal with that up there. Okay. All right. So, I put down not a created lamb, an eternal lamb, not a lamb's blood, but an eternal being's blood. Well, how did he get that manifest blood? He had to become a man. Right? He had to. But it was still the blood that was of his body that was used in the way that the Son of God, the pure Son, would use it. He would pour it out. Not be murdered, but given. Jesus never let them murder him. He gave himself. So, so he was without spot. Okay, now what does that mean? Does that mean he never did anything wrong? Okay, so in eternity, all eternity, when it was just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before there was a world, what do you want to bet they were all three just self-giving, just selfless? Selfless. You know. That's why in his very first Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know, if somebody asks for your coat, give them your cloak. You know, and somebody's sitting there going, he's eternal. He's eternal. But he's asking us who are not eternal to do that. And there is a clothing drive, but I don't want to give away my good coat. I want. I want. And when we're on our level and we're living in a material thing, I mean, I've often thought of just like this building here. I mean, it's just wood and brick and mortar. It's really nothing. We make it something because of our heart. We don't go, oh, kids, don't run in here. This is holy ground. It's not holy ground. It's not. What makes something holy is when you're that, when you're bringing it, when you're doing it in that spirit, when you're loving, when you're giving, when you're pouring out because it's Christ to do so. That means something. But it, you know, we've made too much of our involvements as if that's everything God wants. I mean, I thought we went down a big long list of scriptures that talked that showed that the Father was pleased with His Son. Did we do that? I thought we did. And it was a pretty long list, and it was showing what pleases God. That's why I read that. And I took all that time to look up all those scriptures to just remind us that if you want to please the Father, give him His Son. And if you want to really please Him, don't just put Him in the garb of Jesus of Nazareth, but the eternal, pure Son to the Father. That the one that this Son is praying that these guys might know about what we had before the foundation of the world. That's meaning. Then we're moving along we're moving out of the timeline. Do y'all remember the timeline portion of all this? You're moving out of the timeline. You're not living by second. You're living by life. You're motivated by the Spirit of God comes on you because He comes on Christ. And He remains if it's Jesus in you. And you are about the Father's business. You're not just doing your ministry. You don't just claim your ministry. Well, don't seep over into my ministry. You should be about the Father's business. You know how I know? Because the Son is in you, and that's what He will want to do. That's what He longs to do. And He didn't waste any time. He's 12 years old. He left the religious walk that they were taking to all of the great festivals and all this, and the parents start coming home and go, where's Jesus? Where'd He go? Anybody seen Jesus? That's the question. Nobody in the crowd had seen Jesus. Nobody said, I think He's over by the... You know? And so they go looking for Him, and they get to the temple, and they find Him in the temple, and He's answering the priest's questions. That's His life. It's His life. And His answer was, you know, His parents were freaked out. And we say, well, you know, if you were a good son, you wouldn't have freaked out your parents. And, well, I didn't. What do you mean you didn't? Well, my Father, I'm about His business right here. You think differently. You think differently. Because, you know, I'm really not meandering, but I do think sometimes of things. You know, people are always saying, well, I can't wait to get to heaven, so I'm going to see my family. You know, I'm gonna see my grandmother. I'm gonna see my grandfather. I'm gonna see Aunt Susie, and you know, and we're just gonna. It's gonna be a glorious da 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 da. Have you ever thought about this? You don't know who's really saved and who's not. You know. You say, oh, but my mom was a saint. Well, I don't know. Well, I'm pretty sure my dad is saved because he, you know, used to read us the scriptures every night before bed. If you just actually take a little time and go, you know, there's the possibility that all the people I thought were going to be there may not be there. And see, that's just a crazy side note, but it's kind of important to us because we want the Lord for the Lord's sake, not for heaven, not for our earth and family. That pretty much, we went to church every Sunday. That was going to church every Sunday was not what it's about. They didn't even build church buildings back then. You know, I hope we publish this and send it out. I'm ready to go home and just have, you know, people come in with rocks and go, "You are a heretic." But there's some reality behind this, and I'm not trying to shake you from your family being, you know, saved and up in heaven and whatever. I'm trying to shake you from bringing the earth up here in this sun when he's not even looking and thinking in that direction. The glory that I had with you, Father, before the world was, that you might show him that. We go, "I don't know what that means." So, you know, "Mom, here I come." Y'all still glad I'm preaching tonight?
Yes.
Because I sure am not just sharing. I'm not a teacher tonight, am I? Okay, so so a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus, as the Son of Man, was more than a lamb without spot or blemish. Because remember, they would have to examine him, and I mean, the priest would have to really look every, you know, all that wool or whatever. I don't know. They had to really look to make sure there's not a blemish, because God said, "I don't want a blemish," you know. So we go, okay, well, that's the Old Testament. So now look at me. "Oh, Lord, I don't want any blemishes in me. I don't know how to break this to you." You know, you're just full of blemishes, and so am I. Our hope is that we're in this guy right here, the Son. The pristine Son. That's our hope. And if you are, then you are not the thing that counts. He is. The Father will look and see his Son, and he doesn't have to look at everybody that's in him. Because he just loves his Son. You know? I mean, if you could imagine the Son there, and we're all in him, and the Father comes up and just hugs him, "My Son, I love you." Da, 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 da. You know, your little face is squeezed with the Father's arm, you know. Da, 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 da. And instead of going, "Well, this is kind of crowded," you're going, "I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be found in him." Not having, because you're not sticking your little head out and going, "Hey, I got a little bit of righteousness in you. Get out." You're polluting the pure Son. That's what's going on. That's what you're doing. You think you're trying to attain. Well, you know, it's not as though as I have already attained, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. It's like a big deck of cards. I can keep giving you another card, and it'll say in Christ. It'll say him. It'll put the emphasis there. So, I love how this says, not like corruptible things like gold.
Right.
I mean, that, it really was kind of a, yeah, it is corruptible, but then he says, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. That's not corruptible. Well, we killed him. He's bled. He died. It's not corruptible. I am he that was and is to come. So, not without spot. And so in that thought is that this lamb is not just sinless because he didn't do any wrong. Please hear what I just said. That lamb is not just sinless because he didn't do anything wrong. He is pure. For all of his existence with the Father, for all eternity, pure purity, pristine land. You know, like when the first people came over to the United States before it was the United States, they came over and came to this country and everything was just pristine, you know, rivers not polluted and animals they never saw and all this stuff. Well, that's nothing compared to him who was from the beginning and beyond that and, you know, and will always be eternal in his being. And when he made us one with that, God counts that unto you for righteousness. Your faith in that. In him. So. And then. I already mentioned that he wasn't murdered. But the scripture says, you know, he's not murdered because he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This was never going to be a murder to him, to them. Not on their side. You know, Acts talks about you with evil hands. Put him to, on their side maybe, but not on his side. He came to be what he is. In manifestation. In other words, he came to manifest what eternal life looks like, and it's not how many years you're saved or how many, you know, how long will the earth exist or, you know, all of these crazy things that we go to. The only eternal thing that we really, really see in the Bible was them. It was them. And then he just created everything, and that's not eternal. So eternal life has to be that life. Amen. And we don't have that life. We're not that life. We're not born of that life. You can be born again, but we say, well, I'm born again. I used to drink and now I don't. I used to cuss and now I don't. I'm born again. Well, what if it's more than that? What if it's a whole nother life? You know? Woo-hoo. An eternal life. Well, then that just shuffled the cards in a completely different way, didn't it? All right. So, so where was the beginning? And this is what I've been doing in this certain portion, is trying to show us that there are a lot of beginnings, but the true beginning never was. There is no beginning of eternal life or eternal. It's without beginning and without end. Don't we say that? Yeah, it's without beginning and without end. So So where does it begin? Well, we could shake it down and say, then it begins with God. Well, it does. It does. It does. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But then, you know, you start getting into John, the first couple of verses in the first chapter, and you get into that, into 1 John, and you begin to realize that this beginning that we're digging around for, see, even them, they said, for we have seen him, has manifested. The manifestation is not the beginning. Not when he was a baby, not when he became older, not when he died on a cross, not when he rose again. That life is the only thing that's going to last. Except for whatever he orders, that will continue. But he's not ordering that people continue. He's desiring this, and I'll shut my mouth with this. If any man be in Christ, be where?
In Christ.
In Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. It's not the old creation. It's a new creation. It's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Could that relate to a new heaven and a new earth? Could it? Yes! It could. Because if you've received that life, that's a new heaven, if you will. That's a whole new way of relating with God. You're relating by another life. So, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. All things have become new. And what's the last part of that verse? All things are of God. What? I mean, you know. But that only comes about as we receive. We receive. And if we receive, then faith begins to rise because we've received a life that is not Jesus of Nazareth. A new creation in Christ. Except you be born again, you cannot see. Cannot see. All right, let's pray. Father, you are so gloriously wonderful that you decided all of this stuff about the world of done, about your son, about your pristine son, about you wouldn't fool around and give us a beat up son because of his sin or somebody else's. Sin wouldn't be a factor in your heart and mine. It wasn't there in eternity past. And you are going to prove to us from the scriptures more and more and more that the words that we've read are so plain and clear when our ears are open and our eyes are made to see by your very own heart and hand, because you love your son. So, Father, thank you. Thank you. Eternally thank you. And until we've all come, until we all come, then we will hold on to one another. And we will continue waiting for the day dawn and the day star to arise in our heart. And we will not wait in fear as if it will not come because of something wrong with us. We will wait in faith, knowing that you, Jesus, on your vesture, it says faithful and true, And that's what you look like when you come back. And so thank you. So continue to move in these times together. Let the Spirit of God and Father, let your heart lift up and reveal Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.